Joseph, Joseph's husband of Mary, there's a calling. It says, you don't worry about bringing that woman, right? She's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. There's a calling of God. I don't know what it is, but there's a calling of God on your life. There are, Bible full of people who responded to their calling, and they are written. There's a calling. All you got to do is respond to that calling. Let's lift your right hand high, up high and say after me, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. I'm responding to you. In Jesus' name, use me. Strengthen me. Love me. Bless me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, please come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace. As we share the Lord's table today, I am amazed once again. What a wonderful sacrifice you have given us. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to give up the glory of heaven and come down and become me. You didn't have to do that, Lord. But you did, because you love me. Because you wanted to be with me. What grace. What a love. We cannot fathom. We cannot understand your love altogether. But we are responding to you, Lord. Here am I. Lord, whatever the calling that is, here am I, Lord. I'm responding to you. Lord, I want to live my life thinking that I'm here such a time as this. There's a threat, there's a fear, coronavirus and all that kind of stuff all around us. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Lord, responding to you, we glorify you. We give you thanks and gratitude. Receive this offering. Receive this worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, team. Yes. Praise God. And thank you, Gary and Dan. These ushers and their usher team, they're building our servants that I can't even list all the things they do behind the scenes. But I love these guys, and I'm really proud of seeing them all week working hard for the Lord and the Lord's house. I have the church calendar that I'm going to put up again just to kind of give you a visual of what's going on this week. Remember, we have early morning prayer and the movie after church today. Those are the big things that are kind of different, but it's kind of fun to see, isn't it? Restoration Station every Saturday now, adding to some of these every Saturday type things. You can see here that prayer is going to toggle. It'll be next Wednesday in the afternoon if you can't do the early morning, and if you can't do the afternoon, back to early morning. So that's kind of the next 3 weeks in a glance for you. I wanted to take about 5 minutes and just go over with us as a congregation about the coronavirus and the health issues. And I know there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of charged information. And you can see the verse I put for us very specifically is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And all three of those things are very important. And I'm going to talk about that a minute as I go through what the health department is wanting us to understand in a pandemic. Number one, the symptoms seem to be fever, cough, and shortness of breath. This seems to attack the respiratory system. So if you have just one of those things, just take care of yourself. Don't worry. If you have two of those things, again, probably okay. But if you have all three symptoms, that's where they're setting up the access for you to get tested. So how is it prevented? You've probably heard this ad nauseum, but there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Yes, we get it. Wash hands, not just, you know, simple wash, but you're supposed to sing happy birthday twice or something when you, it's supposed to be that long. Washing soap and water, by the way, is the best. So simple soap and water kind of does it. This one says avoid, I don't even want to say this one. It's avoid touching your face, basically, which every time I hear that, the first thing I want to do is touch my face. I don't know why that is. It's like human nature or something. So, okay. So, again, if we're washing the hands, you're okay. That's the idea, is you're not transferring something from touch to ways to get into your respiratory system. And this is the one that I thought was interesting. Avoid contact with sick people, which there's wisdom there. But can I say something basically just to the Church of Jesus Christ in this? And I put a map here of the world, which, yes, we're struggling. In our country, the risk is still rated low. Travel in our country is still rated safe. So that's not the case in three other countries, South Korea, Italy, and Iran. And I'm also reminded of the Bible that says, pray for the saints everywhere. Because if we're having a struggle, and typically as American Christians, our struggle, can I say, has been at a smaller degree than Christians around the globe. So I want to bring us a perspective to, yes, absolutely, let's pray against cold flus and coronavirus, but let's pray for the saints everywhere. And I'll put in this category that says avoid contact with sick people, not only Christians in some of these countries that don't have a choice, but also our medical personnel, which, guess what, who's going to care for those sick people? And I just researched real quickly pandemics throughout the centuries, and by the way, every century has had one, maybe two. And not only influenza-type pandemics, but, you know, the bubonic plague and some of those things that you might remember from history class killed millions. And guess who was around to care for the sick? Christians, largely, because everyone else took off, said, I'm out of here. And Christians thought, you know, motivated by the heart of Christ to care for people, said, I know I'm at risk for getting sick. You know, even before germ theory was understood, they would stay behind and care for the sick. And guess what? The gospel advanced. Now, I'm not jumping to conclusions with what we have here, because I'm asking all of us to have wisdom. But if you kind of can make it through and navigate all the information's out there, even the health department is saying, you know, if you do these precautions, still go to work, still, you know, do those kind of things that you have responsibilities to do. If you are sick, yes, stay home. If you cough, yes, cover your cough and use tissue. And then this last one is clean and disinfect, which, by the way, as a church, we're doing that. Living Grace, after their service this morning, wiped down every chair, every surface. Wiped down the children's room, wiped down the fellowship hall, because we're going to go back there and eat hot dogs after this service. So, again, where it is prudent, we have done every step. After our service, we're going to do the same thing. It's actually very quick. It doesn't take very long. We have some disinfectant and just wipe down the surfaces. And again, we're not doing that out of fear. We're doing that out of wisdom and respect and care. You know, the blessing of this is it doesn't seem to, children don't seem to be susceptible like the elderly are. So again, categorically, it's like, oh, thank you, God, for that little bit of relief. We're still cleaning the children's room. We do that anyway. It's cold and flu season. We would do that anyway. But we are being especially prudent now with the COVID-19 breakout. Now, there's one more thing I want to say about this, and it goes back to the Word of God. Okay, so we're not going to be motivated in spear. Yes, not that either. Or fear, spear or fear. Don't be motivated by either one. We don't have a spirit of fear, but power, amen, love, and self-discipline. Now, love is on that list in a very important way. Please, Christians, do not scold anyone else that makes different decisions than you make. Please, Christians, love those that are struggling with fear, all right? Actually being condemning, being critical, being argumentative is not going to help somebody get over fear. So we have authority over fear. If you meet someone or know someone that is struggling with fear, please love them and be very, very considerate and pray for them and see if we can't help them move out of fear. So there really is an underlying spiritual battle that I wanted to talk to you about here, as well as this perspective of our risk being relatively low, even though we're in Washington State. It is still low for us. You might have seen this picture this week. Let's see, did I freeze up here? Can you advance me one in the back there? Okay. The president put Vice President Pence in charge of a task force to manage this pandemic in our country. And so this is our vice president right here. And the first thing he did was hold a prayer meeting. Now, I thought, praise God, we're fighting a virus, something you can't even see unless you have a microscope. And it's just like Americans to think, oh, we got science, we got medicine, we got technology. The heartbreaking thing to me as this picture was published, by the way, Vice President Pence started the meeting in prayer, led it in prayer, but then had a meeting. And the meeting was, what are things we can do for our country to mitigate the risk? And so that's where, you know, all the tests are being shipped everywhere, and several things came out of the meeting. So it's not like they just prayer and said, good to go, and went home, and were irresponsible. They're political leaders that felt the responsibility to care for a whole country, which, wow, can you imagine that responsibility? But they did it, in my mind, correctly by starting with prayer. All right, here's the heartbreaking thing. What has been published against this photo is things that are too awful for me to even bring up. I don't even want your brain to go there because it will just make you angry. But again, it's all kinds of accusations against evangelicals, which Vice President Pence is pretty public that he's a evangelical Christian. And all kinds of accusations, oh, they think that praying's going to do something, and, you know, the headlines have been awful. They've been very accusatory. So, again, the temptation, I felt it rise up in me. I felt wanting to be angry and wanting to be critical back, and I'm thinking, no, you can't fight a critical spirit with a critical spirit. You can't fight anger with anger. God, I need to love. So, church, this is the message I want you to understand, that our number one job is to love and to bring faith and hope in the things that we have. I thank God for a leader like Vice President Pence and all the Christians that are, whether they're Christians or not, they're respectfully bowing with them and starting their meeting in prayer. So I don't know the testimony of each one, but the point being, listen, as smart as we think we are, and as much as I appreciate medical science and technology, God is God. Yeah. And there is a point when you don't want to be mocking God, and you don't want to say we worship and trust technology over the God of creation, because Northern Africa and Asia is struggling with an insect about this big, a caterpillar, a locust, that is coming and devastating nations and economies. Again, the same thing. You think, oh, that's a biblical plague. Yes, it's happening today. You can Google the locust clouds, and they're coming through countries and devastating. So it's just like the arrogance of man when we start thinking, we are so powerful, we don't need God, that a microscopic virus or a little insect ends up humbling us. So as Christians, I want to go first and say, God, I'm humbled. You got my attention. I'm not going to arrogantly point my fingers at anyone else. I understand other churches that have difficult decisions. My son attends a church in Seattle that is not meeting today because of the outbreak in Seattle. We need to pray for them. That's a hard decision. They're doing their service online. No judgment, okay, Christians? They had to make that decision. I trust they made it the right decision for their congregation. We have to make that decision. We make the right decision, hopefully, before God for us. But we do it humbly, not judging the other and evaluating day by day, week by week. I don't know where this is going to go, but I want to pray right now. Number one, for your immune system, that you live with a supernatural health. And again, this is a vision God gave me several years ago, having to do with a healing ministry in our state in the last century, with a man called John G. Lake out of Spokane. And the Lord said, we can ride his coattails. We can use his anointing. I mean, when the Lord told me that, I felt so undeservingly. I tried to say, God, this isn't mine. I don't deserve it. It's John G. Lake's. And the Lord says, use it. So I want to use it. And I want to pray a strong immune system, supernatural health over all of us, so we can minister if called to in a time of pandemic. But also number two with that prayer is that we move not in fear, but yes, common sense, yes, wisdom and prudence called for, but also with power and love and self-control. We want those things anyway, don't we? Yes. I don't know about you, but I could use a dose of all three. So if you want this prayer, just bow your head, maybe open your palms like you're receiving something, because I really want to impart this to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I impart to you, brave men and women, the Lord's army, who he is rising up in faith. I impart to you just a strong immune system, a supernaturally healthy body and mind and spirit to carry this. God, I thank you for all the courageous people in this room. Lord, fill them to overflowing with love that is not judgmental, that is not condemning, that is not scolding. It doesn't come out in our body language. It doesn't come out in our speech in the sense of condemnation. But God, instead what comes out is love. Love comes out of our pores. It comes out of our speech. Love is our body language. Love is our verbal language. So, Lord, I pray for more of your power, more of your love, more of your self-control. And whatever authority I have to impart, God, everyone that is just saying, yes, I'll take more of each, God, I pray you would fill even more, even more. Holy Spirit, you deliver to, you see the hunger, you see the humility, you see the courage, God, even more. Just right now, Holy Spirit, just fill, just impart, just give a portion. If somebody just wants a little, God, give them a little bit. Holy Spirit, pour in more right now. Just pour in more of all three categories. Power, your love, and self-control. Just pour it in to your church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And we all together said?
Amen.
Amen to that. Amen. All right. Hey, here's some good news real quick. I got just a snapshot of the restoration station last night. So cool, inaugural night. Again, I was reading Kurt Presley's photo. He thought there was 60-some people there. I didn't get to count, but I think that's a good number. Kurt, are you in here? Did you count or just you? 65, okay. Yeah, and what a group. That's a church, man, 65 people. So don't tell anyone, okay? Because I told them last night, no strings attached, all right? Just come to the meeting, have a great time, learn your original design, get encouraged with God's truth, but you don't have to come to the church. Sometimes that scares people. So we'll just let them come to the meeting and they don't realize where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. There he is also. So that can be a church on Saturday night. I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with that growing in leaps and bounds. So what a night. Thank you, Dennis and team. And Yoko, I'm so proud of you and your testimony. Pastor Michael and Marcia all shared. It was a powerful, powerful night. So if you missed it, every Saturday night, 6:30, come. And they're going to have fellowship and meal. And it's just a powerful time. I gotta get a new sign here to get the 2.0 after the restoration station. But it is International Women's Day, which I wish I could take credit for being that smart and scheduling Galea to speak today on that. But Pastor Michael pointed it out to me. But Galea, come on up. I know if anyone can communicate that they love us more than Galea communicates she loves us, I don't know who that would be, because it is true. It has always been true. She's on our leadership team, and she is the voice and the heart for all of us. And you may think you're the least in the least, and man, between some of our leaders, they will find you and they will love you. And so, Galea, I love that aspect about you, and I know that you've already been prayed for and prepared and ready to go. So I'm excited about this and looking forward to this.
Man. Oh yeah, maybe I need that. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll hurry up because I was practicing at home. It's like, oh my gosh, it takes 45 minutes and then 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, how does Pastor John do it? I don't know how to pace myself. Anyways, so I'm just going to share with you something that God is doing in my heart. And I just pray that it'll resonate in you and it awakens something in you and you agree and we will all jump into this together. Amen? So I feel like God is doing something new. Who feels that in their spirit? God is doing something new, something he's doing, and we feel it, and like, rain is coming, but we've seen no clouds yet, but we feel it, and like, what do we do, and I'm like, Lord, I feel it, but I don't want to live by feelings, I want to live by faith. I'm like, what do I do, Lord God, how do I position myself? And I believe God is awakening us to really step in to be sons and to be daughters, and today is International Women's Day, hallelujah. So there was time when women would not get paid the same as men, with they couldn't vote, they couldn't do nothing, like whatever, and they went on the streets and raised their voice saying, we are same value as you, we are worthy, and we want to raise our voice and stand for the cause, not to rebel, not to belittle, not to fight with men, but to raise and say, we have identity as loved. We have identity as daughters, as women, and we are worthy to stand by your side. Amen? And so that's what I'm taking from that. And today we're talking about daughters and sons, because daughters have voice and sons have voice. And I believe God is raising voice of the daughters to nurture, to speak truth, to embrace. You know, I'm so quick to judge in my head sometimes, like other females. You know, it's just sinful nature. It's like, okay. confessing here. So, you know, sometimes we judge others, but God is raising in us. It's like, you are so beautiful. You are so welcome here. You're different than me, and maybe I'm a little bit insecure, but I'm going to celebrate you. Amen. And God is raising voice of their sons to be fathers. Yeah. We should be done with these fatherless generations who don't know who they are, who are passive, who are not taking the leadership. God is raising the voice so you will speak that into others. You will speak in this generation who are lost, who are confused, and you will be father. Amen? Amen. And so that's what I believe, but it doesn't mean I'm there. I feel like I'm a baby who is learning how to walk. You know, I'm like, I've been crawling and so limiting, and then I'm like, I can stand and make a step and another step, and then I fall. And then I feel like, I can make 5 steps. I'm like, I got it. And then I fall again. But I don't want to crawl anymore. I'm like, I got to figure out how to walk. And then I can run. And then I'll be free. Hallelujah. Are you going to run with me? Okay, let's do it. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And this is the time. He's our father. We know that in our heads, but this is the time we're fully awakened. We're fully awakened to this. Amen? And I feel like revival is coming, but God is reviving us. How can we steward what he's bringing if we're not sure who we are? So revival, Holy Spirit, come and he falls on all flesh. He promised that. And everyone will prophesy and everyone will see dreams, but what do we do with this? Are we ready? Are we awakened? It's like a surfer who sits and waits for the wave to come. And he's prepared and he knows the wave. He doesn't want to ride the small ones. He knows. And he might not see it, but he feels it. So we need to be like this. We catch the wind of the Holy Spirit and ride with him. Oh, because there are some other surfers who sit there. I've been like this. Like, oh, look at my surfboard. Oh, theirs are more fancy. Ugh. I think they are more equipped. I shouldn't ride the wave. Or like, oh, look at this. And wave passed by. And I'm just still sitting there behind. Or there are other surfers who like, I had a lesson on YouTube, so I know. Don't tell me what to do. I got it, okay? I have a surfboard. It's cost $500. It's better than yours. So I'm ready. And then the wave comes and sweeps and spits him out or her out. So he was there, but not prepared. So let's be the one who are ready, who are awakened, amen? So let's see. Sons and daughters are awakening to you. New vision, yes. Confidence, yes. Authority, yes. And anointing. Amen? So let's see. And when Pastor Michael was praying that, I was like, yes, Lord, you are confirming. Hallelujah. Here I am. So in the year that King Uzziah, how do you say? Uzziah. You know, I'm not Jewish. Uzziah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled of his glory. And the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And I feel this is what's happening. God will come, and we will see him differently. God will come, and we understand he is God Almighty. He is God of all love, and we don't have to look and search and feel less than, because he is. And he is for us, and he is with us. Amen? And so when we see that, wait. Well, apparently, I didn't read the whole thing. Then the one of seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Amen. Here am I. Here we are. Send us, Lord. But this only comes with this encounter. We seek him. You know, the Isaiah was not just, you know, driving on the highway. He was not just minding his business. He was in the temple. He was seeking. And God is positioning us to make a room for him. As we make a room for him, he's coming. And then we will see. And then we will hear. And then we will enter into this wave and say, send us. Wherever it is, however it is, send us. So new vision. God is giving us new vision. And we need to see God differently. You know, there's sometimes I put God in the box. Not sometimes, oftentimes. God, you did it this way in the past. That's how you will do it. God, you talk to me this way. That's how you talk to me. So there is no other option. So God is like limited to my understanding because he is here. And I'm like, no, this is the way. No, God wants to break him out. I mean, he is free. But God wants to break us out of the box. We put ourselves. We put God. We're limiting. But God wants to see, like, there is limit. There is no limit. Sky is the limit. He is above. He is above. He is on high. And he is with us. He is with us. So he wants us to see him as loving. Loving. Because I feel this generation, we're so hungry for love and acceptance. And they look in every corner, social media, what people say. People are so hopeless, they commit suicide. With having everything, there's emptiness. And I feel like when we have love, when we know love, God, you love us, you love us, you love us, we're filled with this love, and it overflows, and it brings hope. But we need to see God is love. He's not judgmental only. He's holy, and there is no unclean thing. But blood of Jesus made us righteous. Blood of Jesus opened the door to the Holy of Holies. Amen. And we are standing justified. We're standing justified and truly, truly alive in him and loved. God is love. He's all-consuming fire. When we come, the fire, it will consume all our impurities, all the guilt, all the shame, and we will be baptized in the love. Amen? And so we need to see God differently, and we need to see ourselves differently. Amen? Because we can't, like, okay, so we have this yellow pages of original design. Yeah, we're so excited. We cry, like, yes, Lord, I'm so loved. I'm so awesome. And then we declare that for a month and take one thing and just chew on one thing. But I feel like God is doing now, like, everything we need to own. Everything it says, what these pages say, we need to own. We need to own. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And God says who he is, he is. Amen? There's this awareness and awakening. I am. I am all that. God made me to be mother to the motherless, and I'll do it. It's in me. This is who I am. I'm made for this. Hallelujah. Amen? This excitement. It's not like, oh, I'm scared. Yeah, I'm scared. Like, I teach kids. I'm scared of them sometimes. I'm like, they don't listen, Lord. But like, you know, you made me this way. I'm just going to be there. You know, and the more I do, the more like, oh, I'm coming alive. I love them. Ooh. So, and then new vision. We need to see our life and future differently. Because if we don't see the future, if we don't see our life differently, we'll just go through, okay, this is another year, resolutions, we failed. Then we move into another year, and resolution, we failed. This is a life that we're positioning ourselves to the future. When we see, when we go through the valley, but we see the mountains is right there. Maybe valley is deep, but there is way out. And then when we walk, it makes sense. Then we walk, we have hope. When we stand on mountain, we're like, yes, Lord. We see there is another mountain to conquer. And so we don't settle in the past. And we don't settle what comfortable now. Amen? So we need to see our life differently. Like, every day I'm making a little step towards what God has said before me. Because if we don't see that, we just exist. But we see bigger picture. We live and fully live. And even our mistakes, we use it as a stepping stone. Amen? So, let's see. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. So, the confidence is we are co-heirs with Christ. Everything he came to give, it's ours. And we know that in our head, but I feel like God is awakening us to see, like really, for it to make sense, to connect, come alive in us, and we own it, we own it. And so, what is confidence? So I Googled, of course. So according to the kidshealth.org, ta-da, confidence means feeling sure of yourself and your abilities. Not in an arrogant way, but in a realistic, secure way. Confidence isn't about feeling superior to others. It's a quiet inner knowledge that you are capable. Confident people feel secure rather than insecure. Know they can rely on their skills and strength to handle whatever comes up. Feel ready for everyday challenges like tests, performances, and competitions. Think I can instead of I can't. So this is, you know, how world defines it, confidence in our abilities, but not only abilities. First and foremost, our confidence is in God. He has given us strength. He has given us abilities. He positioned us. He put us in this place in a certain time. So we are for such a time as this. Amen? And so we always say this. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So we are his masterpiece. We're beautiful. We're anointed. We're courageous. But we also have a purpose to fulfill whatever he planned a long time ago, because before we were born, he knew us. Amen? So I think this is the time we need to decide. I can't decide for you. You cannot decide for me, but you can help me in my decision. I can help you in yours. But we need to decide to break up with some things, okay? Yeah. So no more insecurities about our physical appearance. Yeah. Amen? I am this, I am that, I am Asian, I am white, I am black, I am tall, I am short, I am this. No. We are beautiful, I have no time for this. God is summoning me, I have no time for this junk. I have no time. And if I say something, tell me, you have no time. You have no time to be there. Just get rid of that from your backpack, put good things, and go forward. Amen? So no more comparison about our abilities. You know what? Because it steals from us. Whatever God made for you, just little, like you feel like, oh, it's little. If I'm not good like them, then I will not do that. But you know, if you don't do your little part, maybe big parts were not done. Like maybe your purpose is just, maybe this person who led Billy Graham to the Lord, maybe that's the only part he had to do. That's the only part, and it's glorious, and he might be striving and doing all these things, but when he comes before the Lord, Lord just asks, did you lead that person? Yes, then you're faithful. You didn't have to do all the other stuff. Whatever, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if we compare, we never try. If we compare, we never fulfill because we're trying to be like someone else. So no more comparison. And if God says you can't, just do it. If you got to do, make mistakes, allow yourself. But rather make mistakes and learn than just sit there and hoard it. Yeah? It's like the servants with money, right? He gave 5, 3, and 1. Not because the one with 3 wants is not, oh, you're not capable as the one with 5. No, God just chose him to carry 3, and that's it. And I'm happy. Hallelujah. Yeah? Always 1. You know? As long as I do the one good steward, one good, good. Okay? I don't have to. I can celebrate people with 5 and 3. Yeah, amen? And no more doubting our call and purpose. Amen. No more. We are loved and we are called. And maybe it's not like, oh, I'm going to go to the end of the world. Sometimes we think these big things, but our call to be faithful where we're at. Sometimes I need to remind myself, like, you know, I'm faithful at my work. I have to come there in time. Amen? It starts with little steps. We always think like, ooh, my calling is to win a Grammy. And I never even applied to be an actor. people just show up at my door. But you know, all these people who are famous, they put so much work because they knew they're called to that even without God. How much more we who know God? We can pray, we can ask, and we can, Lord, you anoint my steps. You lead me. God, you have a purpose. You have a calling. And maybe now you have kids and you're stuck at home. This is the calling. Every day I am in my calling and even greater calling ahead when these kids grow up and be who God called them to be. Amen? Yeah. I'm a student. That is my calling. And I'm not going to complain about it. So keep me accountable. I'll be the best student I can be. Amen? So, okay, Galatians. Sorry, I'm just trying to hurry up because I... Okay, what I'm saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons and daughters. God sent the spirit of his son into our heart, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So we are co-heirs with Christ. But you know what? Sometimes I think this is the time God is awakening us. Because the worst time when I wanted everything, I'm like, Lord, this is you said belongs to me. I'm claiming. And I'm walking around the building 10 times. I'm anointing. But the thing is, I'm still growing to be mature. And I feel this is awakening about maturity. Because until you're a child, you cannot drive a car, even though it's yours. Until you're a child, you cannot get the family business. Until even you're adult, but you're a child here, you cannot be trusted. Father decides because he knows our heart. And so this is the time he is awakening us to the hungering and being like, I am yours, God. I am a good steward. I want to fulfill your will. I want to embrace everything I am. God, I am who you say I am. I can do it because you anointed me. You've chosen me. This is the time. Amen? We're no longer slaves to fear. Amen. We are children of God. Okay, so God is awakening us to authority. As heirs, co-heirs with Christ, we have authority to steward. We have authority to lead. We have authority. But authority comes from identity. Because if you have authority with no identity, it will crush you and will crush others. You know, let's see, okay. We need to really position us. We are royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Amen? Because sometimes if we don't know our identity, what happens? Like, have you ever worked with someone and he or she is your boss and then you feel like you are the boss? I often feel like I'm the boss. I'll take over. You don't know what you're doing. I'll help you. Lord, forgive me. But, you know, sometimes you have people and they just like, oh, I don't know. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to just step up and help you. You know, he has authority because he's a boss. But is he using the authority? No, because it doesn't come from position. It comes from this confidence, identity. Amen? So our authority, too. We can bind these enemies and bind and fast and all this stuff, but if we don't understand fully where it's coming from, if we don't understand confidence with what we say, it's not about how loud we scream the voice of the name of Jesus, it's not about how many times, but it's about this confidence. God, you said, I am to step on the serpents. I am, and I'm taking this authority, and you must go in the name of Jesus. Amen? you know, my friend lately was seeing a lot of dreams about authority. And before, it was a lot of snakes. She would see a little snake, and she was just stomp on them. She always in her dream, she's like, in the name of Jesus, you gotta go. And she's like this. And later, her latest dream was there's a big snake. It's like huge, like head is like this. And the snake was looking at her. Like it rose and looked at her. And she was like, my husband, you run. I'm gonna take this down in the name of Jesus. And then her dream, she's like, you run, and kids, you run, but you're going down. And then, and she fought it in her dream. And snake turned around, and she started to, like, catch other people, and everyone is running, panicking. But she's like, no, you're not going to return. And I'm like, yes, that is totally what's in my heart. God is really awakening us to authority we have in Jesus Christ. And it's not because we have muscles, but because we have position. Because it was given, we are crowned with this, and we have the sword of God. We use this sword to hurt others, but now is the time we use this sword to heal and to fight for others. Amen? And I'm learning this for myself. I'm just, you know, so we're all in this together. We are going to step into the wave, and we are going to run. And I believe, like, when we do one step, God will do 10. And I believe if we fully jump in without even like, Lord, I don't know, I'm just got saved yesterday, or like, Lord, I don't know how it looks, I'm afraid, but I am in. God will accelerate this. God will accelerate, but we just need to position ourselves humbly. Amen? So, because authority is given for a specific purpose. You know, God doesn't give us authority just so we will be proud. Like, look, when I pray, 10 people like healed. How many people healed when you pray? It's not for that. It's not arrogance, right? It's about expanding his kingdom. It's about love. I love these kids, and I want them to be free. They are so broken. They compare. They are angry inside because there's so much brokenness in their lives. And I will take authority over all of this spirit of rebellion, control, insecurity, self-hatred, because I want to set them free, because I want to see them free, because God has given me this authority. Amen? Amen. And so that's our purpose. That's our purpose. And if God put you somewhere, he has given you authority over that time, so let's take it. Anointing. So, I believe God is anointing us. Like before it was just little drops, and now it's like a horn. Woo! Everything is just like soaked in his anointing, just like Esther. She was 6 months in one oil, 6 months in another oil. So it's a long process, was. But I believe God is anointing us to a degree where we are so soaked. And as we walk, this anointing, aroma of his love, because God says we are a letter that other people read, and we are his aroma. And so God is anointing us for such a time as this. And this anointing will teach us. Bible says this anointing will teach us. We don't need teachers. And I'm not saying like, oh, I don't have to come to church. But I'm saying when you are in a situation where like no one else to pray, you don't have to like, oh, I don't know how to pray. I never prayed out loud. Anointing is in you, and it will teach you. When there is a decision to make and you're not sure, like anointing is in me, it will teach me. Amen? And anointing comes from it comes for an appointing. You know, in the old days, when we read Old Testament, the priest will come and anoint other priests. Or Samuel came and anointed David, right? He poured oil over him because he anointed him as the king. And so God is anointing us for a special appointing. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is for me, but I want it all. So here I am, soak me. Here I am, Lord, I'm hungriest here. I will push everyone out of line. I want it. So, no, I'm not going to push you out of line. But I'm just saying, like, God pours out on hungry. God pours out on hungry, and he's ready to pour out. Are you ready to receive? Yeah, yeah. Amen. And then anointing requires character. Because God can anoint you. Like, we know these people who make these movies and scientific, whatever, researches and come up with the medication for viruses. God anoints them from the beginning, from the time of their birth. God anoints them. But sometimes this anointing crushes people when we don't know, when we are running ahead of the Lord. So we need a character. We don't need any more. Like, I feel like God wants us. You know how God will come with a revival and it will sweep, and then people will fall into sin, into, because there was no character to carry the weight. And so God is really working on our character, our maturity, so we can carry this glory. We can carry this glory. So we have the character, and we know what anointing is for. So we're not wasting it. We're using it for the glory. Amen. And so if God will convict you, if God will stir up something in you, hunger for something, receive it as a blessing. Like, Lord, not beat yourself up. So God convicted me about a lot of things. Like, first he said, you are self-sufficient. You rely on your own strength a lot. And I do. Sorry, Lord and my family. And it's not, in the past I would be like, I'm such a bad person. I'm so self-sufficient, Lord, forgive me. No, I repented. I'm like, Lord, can you help me how to rely more on you? What triggers in me this fear that I have to take control? Can you just go deeper? And it's painful. There's a lot of things. I'm like, oh, my childhood. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go there. But you know what? I'm going to go there. Because I want to catch the wave. I want to catch the wave. It requires character. It requires humility. And I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn. I'm going to humble myself and say, Lord, I'm going to sit with you. And you tell me. And you lead me. And you know, when God comes, he will do it with love. There will be no condemnation. Like, you, and if you hear condemnation, it's not the Lord. So love, and when you encounter love, you changed. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that, right? You're like, oh, Lord, your love is so worth it. So worth it. Amen? So this last, we always quote the Luke 4:18, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me, right? But in Isaiah 61, it has so much more that I want to read over us. Because I believe God is anointing us, God is appointing us, God is authorizing us, God is healing our eyes so we can see clearly, and God wants to encounter us with love. And you are loved, and you are appointed, you are anointed, you are lovely, you are strong, you are courageous, you are for such a time as this, as am I too. Amen? And I am so excited where God will take us. God will take us. We'll just all jump into the river, and we'll just do it. Well, wherever it takes, however it takes, freedom comes, and healing comes, and joy comes, and hope comes, and this world will come in because they're hungry and they see this authentic, confident, loving church. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to just read this over us. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You, guys, you will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's your purpose. That's our purpose. And us, yeah, I guess us, will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. Yes. They will renew we will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. This is the time for our family to be restored. This is the time to set new patterns and new legacy. Amen? This is the time for healing to come, no matter how messy it can be. This is the time. This is the time of Lord's favor over us. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. Amen. And us, all of us will be called priests of the Lord, and we will be named ministers of our God. We will feed on the wealth of nations, and their riches we will boast. Instead of our shame, we will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, we will rejoice in our inheritance, because we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? And so we will inherit a double portion in our land, and everlasting joy will be ours. For I am the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are people the Lord has blessed. Amen. So we delight greatly in the Lord. Our soul rejoices in our God, for he has clothed us with garments of salvation and arrayed us in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to pray over you. I'm just going to pray over us, because we can talk about it and talk about it. But I just pray that we will awaken inside. Amen. And Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for such a time as this. Thank you for your sons and for your daughters. Thank you, God, that we're standing together as an army. We're standing together as a family. We're standing together, God, as a city that belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that you're starting your healing in our families. God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're awakening us to your voice. No longer we will be confined by fear and the past and the labels. No longer we'll see ourselves as less than or not yet. God, this is the time. This is the time of your favor, and we hear your voice. Your anointing, God, is falling on us. Revival is here, Lord God. And I pray awakening in every heart, to become fully aware, to become fully awakened, to be sons and to be daughters. Hallelujah. God, I just pray for encounters with love. You will encounter us on our way out, in the morning, however it looks like, God. I just pray, God, for encounters, God, then where we see you face to face and we see your love that transforms us, Lord. And I just pray right now the transformation, this transformation in the name of Jesus. I pray for hunger to burn in us. Don't let go, Lord. Don't let go, God. We as a church, God, we say yes to you. We as a church, we say yes. We will step into the water. We will step into the wave. We as a church say yes, God. We give you our yes. We give you our yes. Awaken us. Awaken us, God. Awakening is here. Awakening is here. And I just release that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, love, come and don't let us go until we changed. Love, come and don't let us go until we're transformed. Love, come and don't let us go until we're fully alive and fully awakened. In the name of Jesus. And God, I believe you're healing in this place. And I pray that you touch every heart that is and heal, God, from any residue of the past, the pain, the anger, the resentment, the unforgiveness, anything that tries to hold us back. I just pray that your love will come and the love encounter will set us free, God. I pray, God, for any infirmity in the body. I pray, quicken the body, Lord God, because we are to run the race. We are to run fast. We are to run with the wind of the Holy Spirit. We have no time for this. We have no time for this. We're summoned by the Lord. We will not be bound by the sickness in the name of Jesus. And I just pray your healing and quickening into our bodies, into our soul, into our hearts. And most of all, Lord God, I just pray that our spirit will come alive and take over, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Check, check. Okay, sons and daughters, let's eat hot dogs and watch a movie. And if you need a prayer, come up here. The prayer team is here, and Dennis is going to say something.
And whoever needs it, we do have some milk and some extra produce in the fellowship hall as well. So it's available, so grab some on your way out. Thank you.